It's Helping Hand, weekly feature, HBR1 stations, Friday afternoons. Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and to people and animals that are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. Thank you for joining us. This week, we are excited. We've got a returning organization that we have had on Helping Hand a number of times. It is After School All-Stars Hawaii. This is an organization that does after-school programs, as their name suggests, but it helps to, with kids that are at risk, kids that otherwise may be getting into trouble, kids that are coming from disadvantaged households, and we learned about them, ironically, during another segment on Helping Hand. Special Olympics Hawaii were our guests, and when they were on, they shared how the folks at After School All-Stars offer really significant companionship and educational support. And it leads to inclusion of people who have disabilities as they are interacting with kids from the general education population. And there are a lot of ways this organization can be helped. We are thrilled to be welcoming them back today to Helping Hand. And from After School All-Stars Hawaii, we have the president and CEO, Paula Fitzell, and a program manager for one of their programs, Maria Glidden, who is a returning guest. Paula and Maria, welcome. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to have you on with us. And the for folks who are not as familiar with it, how did I sum it up and then add to what you think was missing from your introduction?
I think you did a great job. You seem to know us better, almost as well, if not better than we do. But basically, we provide after-school programming for disadvantaged middle school kids on Oahu and in Big Island from the time they finish school to about 5:30 at night time and the evening, sorry. And it's free, it's comprehensive, it's structured, and it's an enjoyable and yet academically rewarding time for the kids to be with us.
And so you said Oahu and Big Island, and how many schools total?
We have 10 schools total, 7 on Oahu and 3 on the Big Island.
And the organization, how is the organization funded?
Our organization is funded from a variety of funding sources, a lot of federal, state, City of Honolulu grants. Of course, we do have a very small number of individual, we haven't really developed that as much, our individual contributions. We do fundraisers, of course. We have a very big gala in August of every year at the Royal Hawaiian, which, you know, provides us with a little bit of operational money. And then there's a variety of foundations. Foundations like McInerney Foundation, Cook Foundation. So a number of private foundations also who we spend our time basically grant writing is what we do, you know. So.
And so people listening who have an organization that's kind of maybe might be a light bulb for them to think, oh, maybe we could provide something like that in terms of the funding for something like that, because I think there are probably a lot of philanthropic organizations that are looking for ways to power good, so to speak. So that is maybe an eye-opener for them. Maria, describe what takes place in these things. So explain from the point of view of a kid, like how would they find out about it? And then over the course of the week, what happens?
Sure. We have all of our full-time staff. There's actually a site coordinator at every single one of our schools. So they really become part of the school itself, right? It's not just an after-school program. We really are kind of like that bridge for the kids right after school, doing their homework and then doing something really fun and staying on campus. So the students hear about our program at registration days. They hear about our program because our site coordinators are out during lunch and recess, hanging out with them, putting on activities for them. They hear about it through communication with the parents on any of the parent nights that they have at the school. They sign up. There's three forms. It's just a simple registration form. And because our program is free, the day that they turn in their form is the day that they can start coming to our program.
And it's every weekday?
Yes.
No weekends?
So it is every weekday. Our program runs until about 5:30, depending on the school. But we do have weekend events. So a lot of our sports, a lot of our field trips, are on the weekends as well. And so obviously it really is something that's comprehensive. We also offer summer programming at some of our sites as well. So it's kind of a year-round thing now. So It's pretty great.
And for the afternoon, the kids are doing, it's kind of structured in that before they get into more recreation kinds of activities, they're tackling homework. Explain how that works, Paul.
So we have an hour of homework help. So they come in and actually they have a snack first, because the worst thing to have is a hangry kid. So that is not a good thing. So we work actually with the USDA snack program generally to get them a free snack. They come in, they do their homework. We have staff who kind of intermingle between the kids where they need help. In some of our schools, we're lucky enough to work with the schools to have tutors, to actually have the school day teachers to come in and help the kids and provide extra tuition for them. So that really helps in a lot of our schools. And those are the schools that really succeed. Those kids really succeed in relation to their academics. But again, they all have to do that hour. It's in a mandatory hour. They cannot go on to do all the fun things until, so the fun things become the carrot for them to do that academic hour.
Ah, that's cool. That's that's a good way of doing it, and to kind of give that incentive, as you said, and not to get into how we can help you right away, but as you mentioned, it, could you use more tutors? Because you said that those kids are even more better off because they've got this additional aid. If there are people listening who have, what are the qualifications, and is that a volunteer role? How does that work?
Well, actually, now you to say it, mention it, we have, of course, always got volunteer positions, but in fact, and I think this is throughout Hawaii, the problem is certainly on Oahu, we actually have positions of program leaders. So funnily enough, I could use this like as an advertisement. If anybody wants a job, which it's a really good job. I mean, I'm not saying working with kids is easy. It's not, but it provides you with such an amazing heart, an amazing just good feeling. You know, kids can be, you know, they can be challenging.
A handful.
A helping handful. But it is very rewarding. We pay $15 an hour. It's not bad for, you know, most of our staff are aged between probably about 18 to 26, but any age. If you have something that you want to teach those kids, we're not asking you to teach subjects you're not interested in. If you have a passion for football, if you have a passion for art, if you have a passion for performing arts, come and teach these kids. So it's much easier to teach a subject you love.
Sure.
You know, so we're, you know, any come and, you know, help us. STEM activities, science, math, everything, really. We just want to provide all we can. So we mold our program around the skills and passions and, you know, abilities of our staff.
Well, mold is a great word because, Maria, the program is also sort of molding the participants. And we only found out about this because one time on Helping Hand, we had Special Olympics on. And in the course of talking to them, Tracy Bender said, I can't quote her, but I can paraphrase. There's this great organization, and they kind of partner with us, and they help to provide inclusion in schools because kids with special needs and intellectual disabilities end up being able to interact, create friendships with kids that don't. Talk a little bit about how you support those kids and also kids who are disadvantaged and at risk.
Sure. I mean, for all of our programs, because we have open enrollment of any student that actually attends the schools that we serve, really, like, all of our classes are inclusive. There's no separation between general education students or special education students. And in fact, we also have programs such as that partnership with Special Olympics, where we have, for example, unified sports teams doing bocce ball, doing flag football, basketball, and softball. And students are integrated all together. They learn together. They learn skills together. They learn about teamwork together. And really, like, that's what we want. You know, we want everyone to feel accepted, and we want everyone to feel like they have a place somewhere in our program. And really, like, it's so important to us that one of the things that we recently did was we wanted to make sure that not only the students were having that great experience, but also we were providing support for our staff. So we brought in Dr. Christina Keolana from Leeward Community College. She's the special education coordinator, and really training our staff to make sure that they're ready to work with students with special needs, as well as how do they integrate them into their classes.
There are probably people who are touched by this throughout the state and would love to be able to support it in some way. Obviously, it takes finances to run the organization, but you'd know best beyond that in terms of if there are volunteer roles. You've mentioned you could use some more staff. The floor is yours in terms of, and remember, it is statewide, so you're going to be talking to people who are on, you know, Kauai and Maui, where there's not the program is not happening in some communities. What are the things that people could do to support this? And that could go beyond just the financial thing, as I said, but just maybe just turning on their own children to it.
Mm-hmm. And again, the financials, unfortunately, are the crux of the situation. But if that's not a possibility, you know, talking about after school provision, for instance, because after school provision, there is a movement to try and get that as a mandated service per se, that there's provided, that there it's a given. It's a given that we are providing our schools, particularly our middle schools, with after school provision, knowing that kids are out there and there is nothing for them to do and is a danger time. Mm. So talking about that, realizing the importance of that out of school time, it is a very important time for our kids, and now increasingly in a financially difficult world for a lot of our parents, it's a time where their kids are alone at a much younger age, right, and are left to their own devices when there's a lot more dangers. I mean, you know, not to be, I'm not that old that I'm like the horrors of the internet, but the horrors of the internet that I certainly didn't have to deal with, right, that these kids have to deal with, and therefore can be moved and directed in very bad ways. Right. So we have to provide them not only with something to do, but provide them with social and emotional learning, which provides them the ability to make better decisions. And that's what we try to do. So again, even just word of mouth. But again, if you have an opportunity for our kids, if you can provide a hands-on experiential learning, maybe a field trip opportunity for them, if you have a fun office space, if you have a lot of like equipment or a lot of
like electronics.
Like here at HBR, we're going to bring gangs of them over here. But anything, kids are just sponges for everything, and we want them to create aspirations. We want them not to think that they're not going to have any worthwhile job. We want them to think about jobs like this that they can be passionate about and that they think as unattainable. But with aspiration comes the ability for them, suddenly the motivation for them to do hard work and to get where they want to be.
And you were telling me off air about the motivation part of it. The way you do it is you don't have trophies for who played the best. You try to emphasize teamwork and good sportsmanship.
Absolutely. Sportsmanship, it's the fundamental basis. I mean, sportsmanship, and we talk about sportsmanship even outside sports.
Right, exactly.
So it's just being good citizens.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's even our service learning. Last year, we did over 4,500 hours of service learning, our kids did. 4,500 hours is a lot of time, because we emphasize to them, you have to give back to your community. Mm-hmm. You can't walk out of your community. You know, if you succeed, you should succeed in your community and help your community. So again, it is important for us to let them know that it's about sportsmanship, it's about being good citizens.
Yeah, and that inclusion that you create is the kind of thing that can shape how people treat others for the rest of their lives and give them exposure to somebody who's facing challenges that they couldn't even imagine. And then years down the road, I just assume that's going to kind of shape them in a way that it helps everybody in the world. When you talk about like giving back to the community, that's kind of a give back right there, to end up producing people who are kinder to each other.
Absolutely.
You guys can be reached. Oh, I'm going to give some contact information to get in touch with them. ASASHawaii.org is the website. Folks can learn more, make a secure donation there. You can also give them an email if you have a question or method of support, or you're encouraged by something and want to know more. HIinfo@ASASHawaii.org. Their phone number 734-1314, and that's for both for the Big Island and for the Honolulu area too. And we've got the full interview, the radio feature, all their contact information, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests online and waiting for you at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. It's After School All-Stars Hawaii. They're in a total of 10 island schools, 7 around Honolulu, 3 on Hawaii Island, and they offer programs to try to help keep kids safe and succeed and teach them good sportsmanship and kindness and inclusion. And we learned about them from Special Olympics Hawaii, who, when they were on the air to talk about themselves, took time to talk about this organization. We've had Paula Fitzell, president and CEO, and Maria Glidden, a program manager from After School All-Stars Hawaii, who joined us today. And on behalf of all the kids who have found a new sense of inclusion in their own school, it probably could change people's lives, going from being excluded to having a whole world of friends who accept you for your differences. Thanks for putting that good message out in the community. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.